slowly going through Dune.
You only got an hour and 45 minutes left.
Like the sands of time.
Like the sands of time. So are the days of Louisville's Best Podcast.
Oh.
A podcast about everything, nothing, and all things in between. Ah, I am so excited to be hanging out with John and Brian and myself. Don't get to do it that often. Well, kind of feels like every other week.
Sometimes.
But oh, it's the day I look forward to the most. No Charlie, no Aaron tonight. Couldn't make it. I didn't ask Aaron. I'm sorry. But we hope they're doing well. But excited to be with you guys. We've been watching Dune for the last month now at Brian's house, trying to get through.
It's been one long sleepover. Kids are like all calling each other brother and sister now.
We ain't leaving this done.
I feel like what is frozen on the screen now, they shall suck of the abundance of the seas.
Brian only watches it in 5-minute intervals. That's why it's taking us so long.
And he's watching it backwards.
He's watching it backwards. But
and the subtitles are in Portuguese, so it's, you know, it's
Portuguese.
Just almost got killed with a dragonfly. It was awesome.
No, it's a hunter seeker.
See, I always kind of thought this was like the prequel to Thanos.
Uh-huh.
This is
what he gets banished from this planet and discovers.
This is what he looked like before he went like all purpley.
Before he got purple.
Wouldn't that have been amazing in the MCU?
Oh yeah, if they did a Thanos and
like just a regular army guy just hanging out, and then one day he just gets sucked into another dimension.
See, seeing him right here, because we got to pause on Josh Brolin. He should have played Zod.
Oh yeah,
That he's got a very Zod look to him.
I mean,
right there.
I like the guy that played Zod. Josh would have been great as Zod.
Have you seen the any of the previews or any of the designs for the new Superman?
Yeah,
what do you think? You're the Superman guy in the room.
I mean, so. I want to give James Gunn the benefit of the doubt.
He's the Superman guy.
Oh. Look, the very first podcast you guys invited me on was. Double feature, one to talk about Funkos, second to talk about Superman.
Was it? Wow, yeah. Man, you remember that more than I do.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't even know we did a Superman episode.
It was a special moment in my life.
It was a historical moment in Tim's life.
I was like, finally, you guys invited me to be on the podcast.
It only took you 3 years to show up. But
yeah, you guys didn't invite me.
Yes, we did.
I did find out later on that John actually said come hang out, and I just missed the message.
Yeah, I sent you. You were like, we were talking about something on Facebook. You're like, oh, I would like to come be part of it. You like begged in,
and I was like,
come hang out.
I missed that message.
And then we never saw it again. So we were like, well, screw it.
Yeah,
you don't want to come. You don't have to come.
It's fine. You want to be in the cool kids club.
I felt awkward inviting myself, but I had, in John's defense, I didn't see his message. There was no awkwardness. It was just me being stupid.
You immediately muted him. He was like, I don't want to hear this.
And then finally, I got like a personal invite from Brian. He messaged me and he's like, hey, man, we're going to talk about Funkos this week. You want to come talk?
Yeah. And then you never left.
Yeah, guys.
You just never left.
Then that night ended and I was like, how do I invite myself back for the next one?
You didn't have to.
John was like, hey, you can come back next time. And I was like, yes. I'm the fourth.
And then right after that, Charlie and I had a vote we had to take. Who's drawing the straw?
I think it was more along the lines with me. It was like, hey, you're going to come back next week, right? Yeah. I think that was more that. It was like,
but who's drawing the straw for what?
I can't tell you, Tim.
Yep.
You're still here.
It was, yeah, you're still here.
That's all that matters. It's like that stick lady that you showed me on her earlier.
You all left, and they had to play rock, paper, scissors, and they wrestled and all types of stuff. It's crazy.
For what?
Well, we can't talk
about it. There's sacrifices that had to be made for you to have your spot. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
The first role of
podcast is you.
First was it like you were forced to have to be my friend? Charlie's like,
I had to be the good one.
Yeah, that's what I feel like here, Brian.
Yeah,
like I've been thrust upon you.
Let's just say that we're glad that the vote didn't have to be unanimous.
I already have the feelings are hurt already.
He'll be driving home. And I'll be like, huh?
No, I didn't laugh there, John. I felt that one.
Oh, we're
playing. No, felt it deep.
That's how John felt about the five and dime store.
John, I'll think about that comment for the rest of my life, probably. You know, like shower thoughts. You know, you have like that moment where you're like,
there's no need to remember have shower thoughts about
remember
that.
Remember that time when I told the cashier, like, have a good meal or something, and I just relived that moment? This is now one of those moments.
He'd be standing in the shower. Oh, yeah. He's got the shampoo in one hand, Manscaped in the other. He's like,
John's going to be like, and I'm going to be like,
bottom, what?
I'm going to be like, they didn't want me on the podcast.
No. We did. Yeah, we did.
If we didn't want you on the podcast, you wouldn't be on the podcast.
Yeah.
No, now that's you do. Now you do. I've like a sandworm.
Me and Brian are rather direct that way. So
I'd have been like, you know, hey man, is this really working out? Like, I mean,
he talked a lot about Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I don't talk a lot about Funko Pops anymore.
No, that's what we're talking about. If you did it, the podcast.
Yeah.
It's all good to me.
Look, it all worked out because I introduced five live mirrors in that first.
So we should have went with
five mirrors.
Don't even know what that means, but
mirrors.
We should. We have learned on this podcast that there are alternative definitions. For
let's look that up.
I don't want to know about.
We should have just kept the first name and went with it.
Road. Let me go to Urban Dictionary real quick.
For those of you on our Patreon page, please take a look at my foot photos.
Anyways,
we lost a lot of listenership because of that. We should have stuck with it.
I mean,
I'm wearing a gray pair of Crocs tonight.
Here's my question, John.
Yes, sir.
Would middle school moms listen to us if we were the Five Live Bears?
Probably. I think they probably would.
I mean, because we literally came up with that name the week after you came back from Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah,
you've been to Gatlinburg, all you see is bears.
Yeah. I mean, the name
a
was...
A mare is a wonderful name for a girl with a beautiful personality.
I mean, but
I don't think I can call my wife a mare and she appreciate that.
Yeah, let's try.
Like, hey, mare,
Jenny,
what's up?
Come here.
Hey, what's up, mare? Why'd you call me?
Let's just bring them all down. Let's bring them down. We'll just look at the
faces. Okay, we're putting in the cone of silence.
But, we'll sequester them and bring them in one at a time.
Did you say equester them? Like equestrian horses?
Yeah, we got an equestrian. Yeah. Bring them in there.
And then we're going to be like, I'm going to say a word.
We'll judge their gait.
You tell me.
God.
Their hair.
The mane.
There you go. Yeah. The mane. Who's got the best mane?
You are on your own, pal.
Man. That is
and, then we'll go, excuse me, my mare, and we'll see the reaction.
Next week it'll be just John and I on the podcast.
Yeah, because the podcast is going to be the least of your problems. You're about to get voted off Earth.
It's going to be like, I'm sorry, we haven't heard from Tim in some time.
Because I can see... Carla would be one way.
Carla was shocking all back in the day. I'm scared.
Listen, this is exactly how this is going to go down. We're going to finish this podcast, and we're going to go back upstairs. And we're
I'm
gonna
not saying
down. We're
going to
sit down, and Tim's going to go, hey, Jenny, what would you think if Brian called you a mayor?
Could you imagine the look on
I won't do it now. I won't do it now. I would have unless you...
That's exactly what would happen.
No, but what the funniest part is you don't look at him. You'd have to look at Brittany. Because Brittany would be like, what did you say?
I know.
That's exactly what she would look at him,
that's
too.
That's not what Brittany would do. Here's what Brittany would do. She would be like, wait, what? What'd you say? Not nothing.
I wanted to know. Brittany, can I call you a mayor?
I don't know. Okay? I've seen her look at you a couple of times. It was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I guess.
And then Carla would just be
like
laughing.
When I
Carla would just manically laugh. She would just be it would just be hysterical.
That's because Carla finds me hilarious for some reason.
That's true.
My wife doesn't, but Carla thinks
she doesn't find me hilarious.
It's the marriage thing. It's the familiarity.
Yeah.
How I'm hilarious.
Actually, the other morning I made her laugh when I was leaving the house, and she couldn't get it under control. So it was pretty good. I don't want to talk about it on the podcast.
Easy there.
No, it was. It was something I said. It wasn't anything else.
No, don't do it. This is not that. That was last podcast.
Tim, there's such a good one right now I can make.
Make a middle note.
I can't.
Make a middle note.
Oh, man.
Afterwards, when Josh Brolin's not staring into your soul.
Look at him. He is. He's looking right at
He's contemplating right now. He's like, you know what? What if I called the concubine a mare?
That is the look you would get upstairs if you were to say that.
John and I would literally be looking in the opposite direction of you, of like,
no, you look at me.
I didn't hear nothing, hon.
Guys,
I go blind.
Earlier this week, I saw a video on Facebook or whichever one I was watching, and there was this guy swimming underwater filming where in like. The Amazon or something, they found a new breed of python that's even bigger.
This thing is terrifying.
Well, the crazy thing is the guy's wearing like a button-up like dress shirt, and like slack shorts.
It's like a scientist jumped into the water and is like, oh, hey, guess what?
And he's like, and he's like pointing at the snake's head and he's like,
well, aren't they like down there, weren't they like filming some kind of like new movie or something like
something
that?
Stupid,
and yeah, and that just kind of like wandered up or something.
So, I mean, so all of that to say, morons in, especially in Florida, like to bring pythons over illegally. I think it was 2 weeks ago we talked about the guy smuggling pythons in from Canada.
Yeah.
And so there's actually something I want you to know about in Florida called the annual Florida Python Challenge, which invites novices
to go kill them,
to come hunt invasive Burmese pythons
novices
alongside professionals to compete for cash prizes.
That's right.
Headline: pythons are eating alligators and everything else in Florida.
Nope. I ain't
snake
going
hunters
there.
Stand poised to help. And it's got a picture of this woman removing a deadly python.
Yeah.
So the Florida Python Challenge, an annual statewide competition that kicks off Friday, will bring hundreds of snake hunting professionals and novices to South Florida to hunt what wildlife officials are calling the state's most concerning invasive species, the Burmese python.
Those things are just massive.
Among those preparing for the 10-day hunt is Amy Sawee, standing all 5 foot 420 pounds. She can get eaten by a python.
Yes.
She may appear small, but when it comes to hunting Florida's Burmese python, she's mighty. I don't look like I can catch a 17-foot snake, she said, but I can, as she was swallowed whole by a python. As a paid contractor for the state of Florida, Sawee, who calls herself the Python Huntress, searches for reptiles year-round. The Florida Python Challenge invites novices to hunt alongside professionals like her and compete for cash prizes. This year's challenge runs from August 5th to August 14th, and its goal is to both nab snakes and raise awareness of the environmental harm they cause.
Yes, I have seen about this, Tim. It's serious.
John, one of the workers of this thing says that contractors like Sawee have removed 10,000 pythons.
That's a drop
since
in the bucket.
The state began employing them in 2017.
Drop in the bucket.
Wow. $25 registration fee, awards up to $2,500, or you just escape with your life, will be given in a variety of categories, including the most pythons or the largest python nabbed. Let's see here. She was a former real estate agent who moved to Florida. She earns $13 an hour for the time she commits to hunting pythons throughout the year, then an additional $50 for the first 4 feet of any python she catches, $25 for each foot after that. The first one she ever nabbed was 10 foot. I caught it by myself wearing flip-flops. What in the world? These people are insane. Anyways, the largest one that she has caught is 17 feet 3 inches and weighed 110 pounds. That's what she weighs. The snake literally weighed as much as she did.
And you, and not for sure. I can't remember. I think they can go ahead and kill them, I think.
I think they can.
When they find, I don't think they have to bring them back as...
Yeah.
They end up getting tagged, I believe.
Among those facing off against her is fellow professional python hunter and defending challenge champion. Now check out this guy's name, John. His name is Dusty Crumb.
Oh, that is definitely
a name.
That's definitely a Florida name.
A Florida native.
I called it.
42 snagged the longest python in the competition's history. Now, obviously the one she caught was bigger, but it was not part of the competition. He caught one that was 16 foot. In 2016, he was part of a three-man team that took top honors, catching 33 pythons. That is insane. Here's Dusty Crumb holding a python.
So he got tail's teeth.
Oh, my Lord. Look at...
It's kind of like...
It that's looks, just... No, man.
It's like a Florida version.
No, I just...
I don't even think I could pull that off. Maybe in like 20 years if my beard gets that gray.
They've got hundreds of teeth, and when they bite you, it feels like hundreds of needle pricks.
Really? Because they do have hundreds of teeth, right?
The worst thing that can happen is when the tooth breaks off and gets stuck in you, because then you get an infection. I've been bitten so many times, I can't even count them. A 14-footer bit me on my hand. I've been bitten on my butt, on my calf. Thankfully, never on the face.
Thankfully. What are they hunting them with?
They actually have what the weapons are.
Here I mean,
like you use like there's like GPSs.
They use a variety of equipment ranging from snake hooks to special carry bags to an array of lights that can spot the reptiles in dark. When it comes to the challenge, it's guns blazing. Okay. I like to use
that's
my.
What I was wondering about.
No, he didn't say like. That's just the phrase.
Okay.
He uses geo trackers, four wheelers, swamp buggies, monster trucks with big tires, with the big lights to shine on them.
This was on like they you remember the show Swamp People, right?
Yeah.
And they go, well, now they have the new version. They don't hunt alligators per se. It's like Swamp People Serpent Invasion.
Oh yeah, and
it's
they
about
just
this like it's
the
just
crazy thing is if you've seen these videos. They'll just be walking along, and they're like, right there! And they just jump, like, into the bushes.
So are there...
the snake.
Yes.
Okay, so how are they... Are they they're killing these things, right?
Yes, because they're an invasive species.
Yeah, they're because they're
so
they're
what are they? What are they? Are they using harpoons? Are they using shotguns? I mean,
pistols. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. Yeah. It's like okay,
and that wasn't covered.
What do you go after a 19-foot, 110-pound snake with?
These hands that God gave me.
These two guns on these arms.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, that's you watch a lot of them. They just like to grab.
They grab it right behind the head.
Right behind the head, and there's like, your head's all massive. And it's trying to wrap its tail around your leg, and you got to keep unwinding it.
No way. I mean, I'm not.
Or then you like lay it down, and then you shoot it in the head. That's what I've seen him do.
I mean, it just seems like it would be better to go out there with like a
snake snuff films like Brian has, where they're killing snakes.
He's, well, he's bed at night with his iPad.
No, it is one of those like
8mm.
No. You guys do not.
I got one.
Snake is absolutely one of my top. Like,
is that your thing?
I don't want to come across.
Same.
So I'm just like, I'm like, and again,
I'm not
like,
scared of
to see that someone would go after a 17.
You're not scared. You're not scared of snakes.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I just don't want to run across one. Like, well, I was young and it was traumatic.
A couple, many. Now this was like, I don't even know now. Lily was little, real little, and they got in my backyard. We didn't have a dog or anything then, but this fence. So you know, they go out in the backyard and play, you know, kickball and stuff like that in the summer. Well, she come running in that one year. There's a snake out there in the rocks. A snake in the rocks. I was like, they never seen a snake in the rocks. And so I went out there. I mean, I checked. And it's like, nah, ain't no snake out here. And so didn't think much more of it. I said, what color was it? Like, well, it was brown, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, then about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was out there cutting the grass and just lawnmowing along. And this thing, like a spring, shot out of the grass and like hit the fence, which was like right. I mean, it's like less than 2 or 3 feet from me. It hit the fence and it was probably a foot long. I don't even know what it was, but it was.
I don't think you know what a foot is.
It's about 3 feet Johnny.
John's hands are like, it's about a foot long.
It was
John,
not a subway foot long.
John, I mean, like this right here. That's a foot.
It's a foot. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm trying to make a point. I'm not really like, trying to go for specifics.
Say when. Say when. Oh, my God.
Anyways. It's like
it was a viper.
Sprung, hit the fence, and then when it hit the fence, it like didn't know where to go, so it like started to come back toward me.
Oh yeah,
you mowed over it?
No, I just bailed out.
Wait! You're not scared of snakes?
I'm not scared of like there's a snake in the yard. I'm like, oh, I can't go out there. But I mean, it charged me.
Yeah, John.
I've been mowing.
I mean, I think the rest of us are like, oh, there's a snake. I'm not going to go near it. But if it comes, that doesn't mean you're not scared of snakes.
You just unlocked a new fear for him?
No, I'm not.
I was like, wait a minute, what?
Now, my dad is terrified of snakes.
My dad's terrified
so funny.
Of snakes.
When we were getting ready to put in, we were taking some of them old ornamental bushes out of the front of my house. Some of them were dying. So we said, well, let's just tear them all out and we'll put something else in. So me and him got there, and we like, you know, dug in the shovels and dug it. So then he just like puts his arms around the entire thing and like picks it up out of the ground, root ball. And he goes and he sets it down on the ground. I mean, he had this thing up next to his chest, sits down on the ground. And he's like, man, that thing was heavy. You know, we're talking. This black, like just a black snake came out of the, and he's sitting there staring at me. And it was right there. And it went back up in the rocks. He's like, kill it, kill it, kill it. And I was like, what? Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then it went and slithered like underneath our steps. They're like in a hole underneath the steps. Yeah. He was like, oh. And then it was probably a couple days later, I was out there cutting grass, and it was slithering down the side of the house. And I was probably, you know, within striking distance of this thing, and it didn't pay me no attention. I left it alone. I was like, nah.
You didn't mow it over?
No.
You just had two times to mow them over.
Yeah, but the cool thing about it is like where my neighbor is, it's like a bunch of fields and swamp area stuff. Sure don't see a lot of mice.
Sure.
I will definitely take the snake in the backyard over the mice any day.
That is the question to pose to our listeners.
Now, I've had interactions with snakes, and I've had interactions with mice. And the mice are more annoying, but the snakes are more deadly.
Not if it's a black snake,
though. I mean, it can make me hurt myself.
I mean, the way the one jumped out of the... Yeah. Up from the lawnmower, hit the fence. Yeah. I tell the kids at school that was like episode 2 of Run Fat Man Run. I mean, it was I was moving
was
to
there
the fence.
Episode 1?
Yeah, the day the wasp stung me in the leg and chased me around the backyard. That was episode 1.
Are those your best snake stories?
No, the best snake story I have is we used to do caving.
Confined
spaces.
Unlock new fears.
No, they don't. Well, the interesting thing about it is
I didn't like the caving thing in general. Kind of like gives me a little bit of a shiver. But now it's like nope.
The one thing I wish I had learned to do, and I watch videos on YouTube all the time of cavers, is learn to repel. That's the one thing I wish I had learned to do. I've done everything in the videos that they show, but I never learned to repel. I only repelled one time, and I wish I had learned how to do it.
John, I've been repelling people my entire life.
No, I mean, well, but the
you
thing
mean repel.
Well, but you're talking about like being in a confined space and being a snake. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't find them in a cave. They weren't in there.
Okay, then what's your cave snake
story?
Well,
let me tell it.
It fell down out of the ceiling on you.
No, they're not in there. They're not. We never saw
Indiana
snake.
Jones.
Well, that was Indiana Jones. But no, they weren't in the cave. They were in the temple. There's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. But it's only 55 degrees year round in the cave. They're not going to be in there.
Yeah, cola. Yeah.
So we were caving somewhere down around Rockcastle, Kentucky. And we had to cross this field to get there.
There you go.
And went over to the cave, you know, did our thing, came out. Well, as I came across, it was me, Brandon, a friend of mine named Kurt, and my uncles were kind of...
BG?
Yeah. He was there. And we were walking across this field, and I stopped and was talking and reached down to tie my boot because it had come undone. And when I did, I looked down and saw this head kind of pull back into the grass. And I stood up and I was like, snake, there's a snake. Of course, everybody like scatters in every direction. Well, my uncle came walking. You have to understand my uncle Dennis, Dewey. Dewey.
Oh, no.
Both of them are crazy. Dennis and Dewey both are nuts. But he came running up there and he produced a giant rock. I don't know where he got this rock from.
You got to always have a rock.
I don't know if he got out of his backpack, out of a pocket, whatever. And he was like, wham! And he just hit this thing with it and just boom, boom, boom. And when he got done, he like reaches out and picks it up. It's like a 3.5-foot rattlesnake.
What?
I mean, that thing was just laying there. He was like, yeah, you got to watch them down here in Rockcastle County. These things are all over the place. In the summer, they like to get up there around those cave entrances, and they just lay there because it's cool, but they won't go into caves. And it's just matter of fact, he's like spun it around like a lasso and threw it. I was like 3 inches from this thing.
It would have killed you.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, it was a big rattlesnake.
Sound like 3.5 feet?
a little bigger, Tim.
Well, like, you could... We've been up to them before, though, like cave entrances during the summer and be walking past rocks, and you'd hear that... They're like, oh, you might want to stay away from those rocks over there. There's some rattlesnakes over there.
There's a snake.
Yeah. That's the only one I've ever seen. That's the only rattlesnake I've ever seen was that one that day.
When we lived in Texas, we came across snakes a lot. And so much that we would see, like, the shedded snake skins in our yard all the time. And you would just, another snake skin. You just walk through it, walk past it, walk over it, step on it, whatever. And I can remember one time walking in the backyard, and of course we had diamondbacks in down there, and I'm about to step on a snake skin, and I see its tongue come out, and I just froze, you know, because like that's the thing, like, you know, like you learn fire drills as a kid in Texas, you learn like snake drills, like you see a snake and you freeze, you don't move,
what,
you know, like a T-Rex, mm-hmm. Anyway, so like I'm frozen, like 1 foot in the air, and it's just kind of seeps on by, and I'm like, And I'm just kind of very slowly inching back towards the house. And mom's like, what are you doing?
This is
a snake.
I was in the backyard one time when I was a kid. And the dog had a beagle. Mm-hmm. Me and her roaming around the backyard. For some reason, I didn't know why I had it. I had one of those single action Red Ryder BB guns on me. I was been out shooting cans or something. We went across the back, and there's this just black snake, you know, slithering down the fence. He's big enough to see. Mm. I thought, oh, here we go. Crank that BB gun, went pop, and I shot at it. And I guess just as luck would have it, I must have hit it. Because it literally, like it spun around. It was like, stupid. I was like, gotta go. And we had dog run. That snake was coming back across the yard.
What's
like,
wrong with you, man?
It literally did. It was like the thing, like turned around. I was like, what is stupid?
That ain't gonna kill me.
What? The dog was like, me and the dog got in so much trouble all the time back there.
Now, Brian, stuff. I have killed a snake with my lawnmower.
Hey.
It was on accident.
Oh.
But I used to help Brittany's dad cut lawns. At like businesses or something, so I had one of those big stand on ones where you stand behind and you know it just pulls you, and I'm just whirling along, and all of a sudden I see a snake strike at me, but he hits the lawnmower and it's just like, and I was like,
that's not even fair, man.
Well, I mean, it was fair at the time to me.
What type of snake was it?
It was obliterated, John.
It was blue over there.
It was a red dust snake, is what it was.
So
I picked the grass out of him for hours.
John knows my best snake story involving a water moccasin. I don't know, Brian. I think I've told you that one. I feel like I just told her recently.
Yeah, the one about picking it.
Yeah, I feel like I just told this like on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But other times, we went to one of those it was in reptile. It was like a family farm pet thing, and they had a snake there once. So we touched that one. Kenzie would not.
There ain't no way.
Touch it.
Susie wouldn't. Either.
But we've had a lot of interactions with snakes living down in the South. Mm. Haven't had as many up here.
Anybody ever had a snake in the house?
No. Mm-mm. That's a fear of like. When I was a kid, I used to have nightmares about that we'd have a snake in the house.
Oh, man. I have snake like nightmares all the time. It's like snakes.
How do you live?
I don't know.
They're probably kill myself.
They're absolutely terrifying.
Well, that's it. What's wrong, John? Another snake dream. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, but I can't really put my. I had one a couple of weeks ago like that, and it was just. Some just snakes. I don't know what it was.
Snake stories? Best snake story?
I mean, I think I shared it on the podcast. I was at my grandparents' house riding my bike one day, and you know, every now and then, Papa would come sit out on the porch, you know, and just watch because you know they live on that busy corner, so you couldn't ride. I couldn't ride in the road because I mean, Dover Road, you know, how to get obliterated.
Oh, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I would start at the corner of the house, and they had a concrete sidewalk to the driveway, and then it was gravel. And so my thing was always to pedal as fast as I could on the concrete part and then like spin out.
I don't know this story.
So that you know, I'd spin out and then I'd just take off down the driveway as fast as I could, turn around, come back. And I remember pedaling, perfect, Fast and the Furious, what do you call it? The Dixie Drift. And
the Tokyo Slide. Yeah, The Louisville Slide.
It's like slide out and I'm pedaling. And all of a sudden I just catch this glimpse of my pal saying, get back here. And, you know, my brain's processing because I'm trying to, like, pedal as fast as I can. And I'm like, and I look out ahead and I'm like, okay, there's a stick in the thing. That's what he's going to do. So I turn around and I come back. And then he is like, man, you almost ran over that snake. And I was like, what? And turn around and it was one of those, I think they call them cow snakes.
Yeah.
The big llama. But
those are big.
Now, Tim, to me, it was about 5 feet long.
About five feet long.
And I remember it going all the way across the yard and down in the little gullet coming up. And Papa, like, taking a break, like, you know, like, kind of like shooing it on. And then here come this one of those big, like, conversion vans. Like, I was like, oh man, here we go. This is going to be amazing. And you know, that thing swerved. I didn't know you could do a van on two wheels. That thing swerved and missed him. And then he crawled over in somebody's yard and it was over after that.
I'm not scared of him, but I've seen him out in the middle of the road before and actively, like, targeted him with the truck.
The one, though, I guess my fear of him came was I remember maybe being in kindergarten and it was either one of the kids in my class or somebody we knew, family friend, and they had a birthday party at the Louisville Zoo. And when you had a birthday party at the zoo, there was a certain list of animals, and you got to pick two animals. And one of the ones that he picked was a boa constrictor.
Why?
And of course, like, my mom absolutely, like,
oh, yeah,
terrified of snakes, too. So I remember, like, we're going to the birthday party, and she was just like, you know, when they get the snake out, like, just be, if you want to see it or whatever, be careful. You know, I'm not getting anywhere near it. Like, and so I'm kind of already, like, apprehensive about it, right?
You are inheriting a fear from your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except then when the lady's showing him, and of course, she's going through the whole spiel, like, now, boa constrictor only does this. It can, you know, and that thing bit this woman's arm. It just went, you know, straight. Boom.
I thought you were going to be like, she opened up the box, and she's like, oh, where's it at?
Yeah, no.
Everybody pick your feet up.
It bit her, and it was like toward the wrist thing. And I remember her like, so she peels it off of her, basically. She's bleeding, and she's still trying to hold the snake. Well, and it is like
violent.
It's like, I'm done being in this cage, woman. Like, boom, boom, boom. And so, and then she couldn't get her arm to stop bleeding. And it was just like,
most terrifying
birthday party
ever.
So I was just like, I don't want nothing to do with that. I had to be maybe five.
That's an awesome birthday party.
I mean, and the other thing was probably like a cockatoo or something. Like,
kids,
I don't even
are
know.
Screaming.
And next time I bring in the kimono dragon.
Which kid in here is going to get ate first?
She just passes out.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen Tilford?
Does anybody have a bandage? Does anybody know how to do a tourniquet?
That, I just remember that. And of course, in my mind, like you were talking about those people on that video and stuff, and you watch them where they just can walk right up and grab a snake by the back of the head and oh, look, the snake is usually docile. You just have to pick it up slowly. And, you know, and there's these people that have these, you know, basically they'll keep these poisonous snakes in their home. You know, they have rooms and stuff and everything.
No.
And I'm just like this one guy I saw one time on Facebook. It was like, he literally has a king cobra.
Yeah.
Like, he has it, you know, has to be registered and all stuff, but it's like, this thing is like a 6 foot long king cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, isn't she beautiful? That's... And he's like petting her on the head, and I'm kissing her, and I'm like, dude, you are one bite away.
Now, that was one of the coolest, I mean, well, snake thing, stories, is they have this place, and I don't know if you've ever been down in Gatlinburg, they have this, it's like an Amazon rainforest type place where they have like reptiles.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, it's near Sevierville. But one time we went in there, and Susie was, and she's probably, you know, seven. So she loved the place. And it had like a petting zoo and all types of exotic animals. It's kind of like a tourist trap zoo they have down there. But anyway, they had, and I guess they could see out the same as you could see in, you know, like snakes and stuff.
Okay.
But they had a cobra in one of them things, and it was kind of, you know, it was just kind of sitting there. And we went, went up to that cave, you know, that glass, and that thing locked eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It stood up. Oh. And we were like, I mean, it was, of course, the thing's in like a cage of like six inch deep glass, but it was still cool. I mean, because it was just like,
it's like, oh, I got you.
It literally wanted to kill me. I mean, you know, you could, and I mean, it ain't every day that you're in the presence
that
of.
You shot his friend with a BB gun.
That's that guy.
That's that guy from Kentucky.
He's like, Senor, I understand. I know they're not from Mexico, but, you know. But I mean, it was really wild to be, you know, even that close. I mean, there was no danger, but that thing actively wanted to kill me.
Yeah. when we go to the Indianapolis Zoo, I mean, they have a whole, you know, reptile enclosure, and there's a whole, like, it's like a snake path almost of like, and what amazes me about that,
run through it.
Oh, Lily and I will go through it because what amazes me is it's
stay
like
stay too long, one falls on you.
Oh, that'd be game over. So that'd be game over. But it's like, what always amazes me is it's like, you look at, like, they'll have descriptions of it, right? It's like world's deadliest one, and you're looking at it, and I'm like, oh, that thing don't look very big at all. It's only about 2 feet, like, tiny. But has enough venom, you know, that it would kill you. So it's not like versus the king cobra or whatever. Yeah. You know, this is the mongoon viper. And it's like, what?
That made me think of two other snake stories living in Florida. We used to live right below Orlando. And I can't remember if it was Aaron or me, but we got home from mom at the grocery store, and she like gave one of us the keys to go unlock the front door, carry the groceries in. And we had this huge snake that was just sitting like on the doormat, I guess, like in the shade, and it was just like, "Welcome home," you know. And then, and I think Dad happened to show up not too long after that and shot it or whatever.
Your dad's like Magnum 44 Magnum. Like, kaboom, there's a big hole
in the porch. If mom's listening to this one, she's going to be mad because she hates when I tell this story. We had a screened-in back porch, and we had all our toys just strung out, you know, and just, you know, we left them overnight. And like that morning, there was a hole in the screen, and mom says this big black snake got in, and it crawled all over our toys. And then like they had
this
like,
is like barrel rolling over.
I don't know. But anyways, she threw away every single one of those toys because the snake touched it.
Couldn't bleach them.
I don't know. She threw them all away.
You know.
Yeah. It's got snake germs.
I remember one day. This is after I graduated from high school, but I was still living at home.
You got the snake germs?
No. It was like during the summer, and I get home, and my mom. Whenever my dad is doing something interesting, she stands out on the back, out in the driveway with her arms folded and just stands there and watches, you know. So that, it's nothing like super important. It's always when he's doing something like crazy or something. She's just standing there watching. So I'll pull the car into the driveway and stop, and she's standing and got that look on her face.
Like your dad's doing it again.
And I look over in the yard. Man's
playing with the snake.
And my dad has a garden hoe, but he's not like down like in front of him, smacking
going, like,
something
full over his head.
He's got this thing pulled over his head like a Viking, and he's just slamming it into the ground, and I'm standing there and I'm watching my dad do it. My dad's like 6'2", and he's just wailing away, and I was like, I get out of the car, I said, what's he doing? She's like, killing a snake. He's killing a snake. And finally he gets done, and he's like, he's got his back to us, and he's got that kind of like he's breathing hard, like this. I was like, man, this thing must be a mess. He goes, got it. He turns around and he pulls out this like 6-inch garter snake, and he's just holding it. My mom's
now,
like,
John, I don't trust any of your measurements anymore. Okay, this thing could have been 7 feet long. You're like, it's about the size of your hand.
No, it was a little video thing. And she's like, he's killing a snake. He was just going bonkers on this thing with a garden rake.
Your mom was probably more worried about him like hurting his foot or something, like, you know, taking the hoe into his foot.
I hear right now, John Graham, don't be out there killing that snake with a hoe. Yeah, but he was. That was one of the better.
I was not expecting to have a snake podcast.
No, but it was cool.
I was glad we did.
Hopefully you don't think things are crawling on you right now.
Snakes on a podcast.
Snakes on a podcast.
That's the name of it.
That's a great one.
I'm using that.
Have you watched Snakes on a Plane?
Yes. No.
Oh my gosh, that is John. You got to watch it. It's amazing. It's one of those ones that's so amazingly bad. It's amazing.
When Susie and Carla were coming back from Disney one time, they had cats on a plane.
Yeah.
Some cats got out of their carrier and was running up the aisle.
Oh my gosh.
There's cats on a plane.
Better than the Komodo dragon.
Oh, I am sorry, Brent. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going
to
catch you later.
Shout out to all our snakes listening. We do this for you.